Welcome to Inspired Living with Mark and Kim. Every Wednesday, Mark and Kim, along with their special guests, will explore thought-provoking topics and ideas that promote creativity, self-help, healing, happiness, and well-being to inspire you on your spiritual journey. Each week, Mark and Kim will discuss different paths to achieving a more spiritual, balanced, happy, and healthy lifestyle. Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual. Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. Mark and Kim are tested, certified, and professional spiritual mediums, metaphysical teachers, healers, and spiritual advisors with their own individual spiritual practices in Seattle, Washington, and Los Angeles, California. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be on this beautiful and amazing planet of ours. This is Inspired Living with Mark and Kim here on OM Times. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon and just being a part of our Inspired Listener community that continues to grow and connect while we inspire you on your spiritual journey. I am your co-host, Mark Lane Hart, the Intuitive Prospector, and if you are ready to jump into your own personal soul adventure for 2017 or do a little spiritual prospecting with me, please visit marklanehart.com or do an internet search for the Intuitive Prospector, and let's explore and discover your own spiritual gold in 2017. Now, located in the Eastern time zone now of Richmond, Virginia, is the talented Kim Falcon, founder of CoFirst, my co-host here every Wisdom Wednesday. Good afternoon, Kim. We have a very interesting and inspiring show ahead of us.
Yes, good afternoon, Mark, and to our inspired community all around the world. Thank you for being with us today on this lovely Wednesday. I am in Richmond, Virginia, and I'll tell you, Mark, the sun has come out today, and it's a glorious day. We have not seen the sun for a few days. It's a little different than Los Angeles, but it makes you appreciate every single day. And I'm looking out of my office window here at the beautiful trees that Virginia is known for. So it's a great day out here. I'm happy to be here. We have a great show ahead of us. And I can't wait to learn a little bit more about this dreaming wide awake thing here. There's a lot that I understand can be done in this state of being. So I'm excited to talk to our guest today. And if you are if you're interested in, if there's any way that I can help support you on your path in the way of healings, readings, or working with the power of your mind and hypnotherapy, please do reach out to me. You can find me at lovefirst.info.info. And also, if you'd like to interact with us on social media, you can find us on multiple platforms. You can find us on Facebook under Inspired Living Radio, Twitter and Instagram under Inspired for Us, Google Plus under Inspired Living with Mark and Kim. And you can also listen to all of our shows. Our live shows always head to podcast, so they are available on demand. And you can find us on OM Times Radio, Podbean, SoundCloud, and marklanehart.com, as well as iTunes and YouTube. So there's all kinds of places you can find Inspired Living, and that's the goal, to get the message out there that all of our guests have to share with us. Please, please also feel free to call in with your questions for either Mark or myself or our guests. We welcome those questions. As you know, we've got call-in lines, and you can call in at any time with your questions at 202-570-7057. Back to you, Mark.
Very awesome. And Kim, as far as our inspired positive affirmation for the month of January, I can't believe we're already almost done with January. Did you want to get that out to our inspired listeners real quick?
Yes. Our inspired affirmation for the month of January: I consciously offer light to everyone I'm with. And I tell you, Mark, when you make a conscious effort to say that to yourself and you're in the company of other people, you just set that intention, you can feel the energy shift. And you can feel that people receive you differently, too, in a very nice way. So I encourage everyone to try this inspired affirmation for the month of January. And let us know, you know, if you want to correspond with us on Facebook and just send us a post that says how it's helped you or how any of the guests have kind of inspired you or helped you in any way, we would welcome your feedback.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And again, if you want to also just comment maybe with a positive affirmation that you would like for us to use in the month of February, we do this all month long. We try to have the same positive affirmation. And you're right, Kim, when you think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration, you unlock the secrets of the universe and you just feel good about yourself. So I consciously offer light to everyone I am with. I love that. Just want to let our inspired listening community all around the world listening to us live right now, thank you so much again for being here, being a part of the show. If you want to engage with us right now, make sure to call in. We're going to be taking questions here at the second half of the show, 1-202-570-7057. That's Ohm Times Radio. Or you can post a question to our Facebook page, Inspired Living Radio. Kim's going to be keeping an eye on that. And also check out the new platform over on Ohm Times. What I love about the platform is it's been updated. It looks wonderful and amazing. So, giving an Inspired listener shout out to both Chris and Liani who have managed to upgrade that. And what I love about the platform is you can access it from anywhere in the world, anytime, on any device. There's no username. There's no password. It's easy, fun, educational, with great shows throughout the week. So check out Ohm Times Radio on the new platform. Also want to give out just real quick, if I could, Kim, an Inspired listener shout out to my aunt Paula in Spokane, Washington, who was just diagnosed with cancer. And I just wanted to let her know that I'm thinking about her. Please send her love, light, and healing as a community. Send it her way if you guys wouldn't mind. So just love you, Aunt Paula. Just sending you an Inspired listener shout out. So, real quick, we're going to get our guest on the show. I have his book. It's a fantastic read, Dreaming Wide Awake, Lucid Dreaming, Shamanic Healing, and Psychedelics. David J. Brown holds a master's degree in psychobiology from New York University. He's a former neuroscience researcher at the University of Southern California. He has written for Wired, Discover, and Scientific American, and his news stories have appeared both on the Huffington Post and CBS News. A frequent guest editor of the MAPS Bulletin, that's M-A-P-S, he is the author of more than a dozen books, including The New Science of Psychedelics, Frontiers of Psychedelic Consciousness, and Dreaming Wide Awake, which we're going to be talking about today. He lives in Ben Lomond, California. And if you want to see the work or get one of his books, which I highly recommend, you can find his work at mavericksofthemind.com. David J. Brown, welcome to Inspired Living Radio with Mark and Kim.
Welcome.
Thank you very much, Mark. Thank you very much, Mark. Thank you very much, Kim. It's a real pleasure to be here today.
Well, we're excited to have you on. I wanted to open up the show with this book. I started reading it, was just fascinated with the research that went into it, the amount of detail, and I love just the opening of your book because it talks about, as children, we are taught to sing, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream, merrily, 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 life is but a dream. So I love that, and what a great way to start the show. So let's talk about Dreaming Wide Awake. We have a break coming up here in a few minutes, but let the Inspired listeners know the background of this book, and let's get our first question. What is lucid dreaming?
Lucid dreaming. Lucid dreaming is very exciting. Lucid dreaming is the process by which one becomes aware and awake in their dreams. It would be like realizing right now that you were dreaming and looking at the world around you and realizing that everything that you see is a construction of your own mind, and as such, you have the freedom to interact with it in ways that don't have quite the social or biological consequences that we do in the waking world. You see, when we're normally dreaming, what we do is we confuse the dream world with the waking world. We think we're actually awake when we're really dreaming and don't take advantage of the incredible possibilities that are available to us inside of a lucid dream. Inside of a lucid dream, you can basically, you know, change the laws of physics, do whatever you want, carry out fantasy fulfillment, learn skills, improve yourself, become a better person, and work towards spiritual enlightenment. It's really a truly powerful tool for being able to explore your mind and carry out not only extremely fun and exciting adventures, but to really improve yourself as a person and to become more spiritually aware.
And as far as writing the book and the books that you've been involved with, what kind of unlocked the door for you? I know that you have a degree in both psychobiology from New York University and neuroscience research at the University of Southern California. But was there something in your life path and your spiritual path that kind of inspired you to write these books?
Oh, well, these books are the Lucid Dreaming book. The Lucid Dreaming book really was inspired by a number of things. I had my first lucid dream when I was around 16 years old, and this was several days after my initial first psychedelic or shamanic experience with LSD. And since I had that experience several days after the psychedelic experience, I wondered about that for years and learned later that, spending time with Stanford sleep researcher Stephen LaBerge, that lucid dreaming was actually a learnable skill. That it wasn't something that just, you know, magically and capriciously appeared on certain nights or only when I did psychedelics, but rather was something that you can learn through practicing different techniques. And so as a result of learning those techniques from Stephen LaBerge, I, you know, set myself off on a course of years of studying the dream world systematically and exploring these different states, making careful records. And I did this for, you know, around 25 years or so. And then more recently, when I was down in Peru, I had a very powerful healing experience with ayahuasca, the plant medicine brew. And Yeah.
Let's hold that thought right there on ayahuasca. When we come back from our two-minute break, we're going to pick that right back up where we left off with David J. Brown talking about dreaming wide awake, lucid dreaming, shamanic healing, and psychedelics here on Om Times Radio. Stick around, everybody. We'll be back in two.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive dedicated community.
Searching for a perspective beyond the mainstream? Check it out. Join your hosts Yelito Pasquale and Diana Gold Holland on Share International Radio for thought-provoking views behind the news. Sundays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio. You can also find us at shareontheairradio.org. This may be the message of hope you've been waiting for.
Are you seeking answers to life questions? Would you like to connect to a departed loved one? Are you suffering from pain, stress, or anxiety? Kimberly Thalkin is a tested, certified, and professional psychic, spiritual medium, energy healer, hypnotherapist, and the founder of Love First, where life transformations happen. Love First's services support, guide, and empower individuals by connecting them to their highest potential to live a healthier, joyful, and meaningful life that's filled with purpose. All services can be done by phone, Skype, or in person in Encino, California. Please visit lovefirst.info. That's LOVEFIRST.info for more information.
There are many sounds in your daily life. Ones that make you smile. Ones that help you relax. And there are some sounds that can help save lives. Wireless emergency alerts, now on many mobile devices, use a unique sound and vibration to bring you critical information about emergencies in your area. With updates from local sources you know and trust, you can be in the know wherever you are. Learn more at ready.gov/alerts. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inspired Living with Mark and Kim here on Om Times Radio, the voice of consciousness. If you want to call in to speak with myself, Kim, or our very special guest, David J. Brown, the number to call is 1-202-570-7057. We will take calls as they come in order into the queue. So if you have a question for David, please give us a call. So right before the break, David, we were talking about lucid dreaming. We have your new book, Dreaming Wide Awake, Lucid Dreaming, Shamanic Healing, and Psychedelics. And you were just starting to get into the aspects of healing and ayahuasca, which we've heard a lot about. So I just wanted to pick that back up.
Yeah, so as I was saying, I was just finishing up about how, you know, I got inspired for writing the book. Several years ago, I had a very powerful healing experience with ayahuasca, the ancient plant medicine that's down in the Amazon while I was in Peru. And after that experience, I had a whole series of lucid dreams that sort of continued that healing process. So it was through all these experiences that really led me to want to write the book. I've noticed in the past couple of years there's been sort of an abundance of scientific research into lucid dreaming as well. So I wanted to incorporate that with my own personal experience and also try to really draw the connection between psychedelic or shamanic experiences and lucid dreaming, which I feel was something that has been overlooked in a lot of the other books on the subject.
So, David, you talk a lot about there are a lot of benefits to lucid dreaming, one of them being healing, and the types of healing that one can experience through lucid dreaming. Can you talk to us a little bit about how it's helped you in your life and how maybe how it's changed your life and how it's helped other people, whether it's been physical healing or emotional healing? Because I don't think most people think of dreaming as being able to help themselves in this way.
Yeah, the healing aspect of lucid dreaming and the skill aspect of it is something that people often get to after they've worn out all their fantasy fulfillment ideas and lucid dreams, after they've been flying and having sex with their ideal partner and going through walls and doing all those kind of things. Usually, right, that's what people usually do first. And then people usually then want to start exploring some of these things, like learning to improve themselves with different skill practices and of course, healing. In my own case, I talk at length in my book about how I used both ayahuasca and lucid dreaming, different techniques for healing myself from post-traumatic stress disorder that I experienced as a child. And it was extremely, extremely effective. People have used lucid dreaming as a way to heal from not only emotional problems like, you know, PTSD, but also from actual physical ailments. I document a story in my book where someone who had a very serious infection in their tonsils during a lucid dream went to a mirror and looked at themselves in the mirror and imagined a glowing light, you know, a healing glowing light around themselves, around their neck area, you know, where the pain and the infection was. And when they got up, around 95% of the infection had subsided. So this is, you know, there's been a couple of case studies, but this is unfortunately something that hasn't really been studied in great depth scientifically. And I think it's just calling out, you know, for these sort of studies. It would be so wonderful to see a series of studies done that really demonstrate and show and really look into whether or not lucid dreaming can be used as healing for different types of ailments and injuries.
Now, a question on that, which is a very powerful thing that this person was able to do for themselves, is there, because you can do, there are people out there that practice visualizations and things like that in their waking state, right? So they might do the same kind of visualization in their waking state where they see this beautiful golden light or white light healing that their tonsil. But is there an added benefit to it being in the lucid state versus the waking state?
Well, you know, unfortunately, there hasn't been scientific evidence to address that question. There certainly is scientific evidence for what you just mentioned. I know Candace Pert actually did studies, the late Candace Pert did studies that showed that, you know, visualization, you know, involving, say, you know, enhancement of the immune system or something like that, when somebody's fighting, you know, an illness or cancer or something, that there is a measurable benefit that, you know, comes from these visualizations. And it seems like it has something to do, you know, with the power of belief. You know, I've thought about this, you know, quite a bit as to why psychedelics seem to also have healing benefits, because it seems like, you know, what we know from science is that in medical studies is that what we call the placebo effect, the power of belief, actually influences our physical well-being positively and negatively. So I suspect that with lucid dreaming, it is more powerful. I suspect it's significantly more powerful because it's fully encompassing. When you're in a lucid dream and going through an experience, it's almost indistinguishable from going through the experience in waking reality. So I think that, you know, the added dimension and the added realism to it add to the power of its ability to heal. But gosh, I mean, I really wish that I could say that there have been, you know, detailed scientific studies comparing visualization exercises to lucid dreaming healing, but unfortunately they just haven't been done. But the anecdotes seem to suggest that it is a far more powerful technique.
Well, I'm wondering too, beliefs and limitations, and the waiting state might have some resistance to that, whereas maybe maybe those limitations aren't there.
You know, I'm sorry that you got cut off a little bit. Yes, you have to
Question. Yeah, sorry. I'm sitting still here, so hopefully that the connection's a little better. But what I was going to say is I'm wondering if our own limiting beliefs in our waking state might offer up resistance to trying to heal ourselves in our waking state versus maybe when we're in a you know, lucid dreaming state, those limitations aren't there in the same way, or maybe even aren't there at all.
Well, you know, this is the thing, is that when you're in a lucid dream, your waking state, you have access to all your waking world memories. And your waking state in the lucid dream isn't really all that different than your waking state right now. But you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. It is those limitations in our belief system, I think, that are at the root of, you know, of so many illnesses and problems and changing our belief. That's why I think having a psychedelic experience with ayahuasca is often so beneficial for people, just simply because it changes their belief system. It changes what they believe. And it's very difficult to change what you believe. You know, it really isn't that easy.
Mm-hmm.
You can specifically work on this inside of a lucid dream by actually kind of trying to change your beliefs and trying to work with that process. But it really isn't that easy. Beliefs get very fixed when we're young, and it's hard to melt down the solidity of them in our brains. They crystallize over the years and get reinforced. And we usually need some type of spiritual practice to liquefy our brains and be able to re-experience new beliefs.
Yeah, that's right. What about enhancing skills? Or let's say you want to be better at golf or be a better speaker, things like that. Is that something that lucid dreaming can help with as well?
Yes, absolutely. That's one of the most important things that lucid dreaming could help with. Many people report that, you know, practicing public speaking, practicing gymnastics, practicing, you know, tennis or whatever skill, you know, music, playing the piano, whatever it is you want to learn, if you practice it in the lucid dream, you will actually improve the skill. There's actually scientific evidence for this. They've done scientific studies. What they did was they had a group of people, two groups. One, you know, and they were both instructed to, you know, try to toss quarters into a cup from across the room, and they were measured on their success. And one of the groups was a group of lucid dreamers who were instructed when they went to sleep that night to continue practicing the coin tossing. The other group was non-lucid dreamers who just went to sleep and just slept normally. The following morning, they actually tested both groups. And the group that had been lucid dreaming and practicing in their sleep did significantly better. So that's hard scientific evidence that, you know, skill practicing inside of a lucid dream really does have genuine, you know, measurable effects that actually can improve our skills.
That's great.
You talked about that in your book, too, as far as even just the mainstream of the 2010 film Inception, as far as being inspired by the notion of being able to lucidly share dreams and connect in. What I was interested, David, with your book is it talked about how psychedelics were actually banned in the United States, I believe in 1972, correct me if I'm wrong, because that was the year I was born, and then just within the mid-90s started to come back where they started, because I always heard about LSD, never really heard about ayahuasca, you know, until the last few years, DMT, and more of the exploration of using it for healing and to help people, you know, heal their symptoms and what they were going through. I was just fascinated that, you know, it was outlawed and then banned, and then, you know, there was a few studies that your book talks about, but you've been doing over 30 years of personal experimentation. Have you found ayahuasca to be kind of the mind opener of all of this, or do you have a personal preference?
Yes. Let me just first say that we have a renaissance going on right now in terms of scientific research with psychedelics. That there was, as you mentioned, there was zero scientific research in psychedelics from 1972 to 1990, when Rich Straussman did his first DMT studies with human beings. And this is really was a very sad situation, because they've been shown to not only be remarkably safe, but to have an incredible range of psychological benefits. You know, MAPS right now is doing studies with MDMA and PTSD, with psilocybin and obsessive compulsive disorder, with LSD and end-of-life anxiety. There's just a whole host of wonderful studies. It's truly a renaissance. For people interested, they should check out MAPS.org or my book, The New Science of Psychedelics. With regard to your other question about ayahuasca, yes, absolutely. I found that my experience with ayahuasca was unquestionably the most powerful healing experience that I ever had with psychedelics, far more powerful than anything with LSD or mushrooms. There seems to be, you know, it may sound crazy to people who haven't experienced it, but when you do ayahuasca, there really seems to be a spirit or an intelligence that comes to you, that works with you, that seems to heal you, it shows you and teaches you. And almost everyone who's had the experience, just it's very, very hard to deny. But I found it to be the most powerful in terms of being able to have a healing effects. So I think this is something that really needs to be studied more. Ayahuasca has not been studied enough. It's been used out in the Amazon for at least hundreds of years, maybe thousands. No one's really quite sure. But it seems to have a truly, truly remarkable healing abilities. And the experience itself is something that I think every human being should have at some point in their life.
Very interesting, very fascinating, and perfect timing. We'll pick this conversation back up on the second half of our show. Again, if you want to call in and ask questions of David, myself, or Kim, please call us at 1-202-570-7057. This is Inspired Living Radio with Mark and Kim here on Home Times. We'll be right back.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Have you wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Eros Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
One planet, 7.3 billion people, only one you. Life offers us many opportunities and learning experiences. Are you ready to explore and discover this beautiful planet, the life and energy all around us, the spiritual world, and what is unseen, along with your own personal soul adventure? Mark Lanehart, The intuitive prospector is the spiritual connection you have been prospecting for. Internationally known as a tested and professional clairvoyant medium and spiritual advisor, Mark's work as a metaphysical teacher, medical instructor, radio show host, inspirational writer, and hiking guide are here to help you on a journey of self-discovery, healing, inspiration, education, and a whole lot of spiritual awesomeness. Dare to dream. Dare to explore. Dare to live. For more information on Mark's spiritual practice in Seattle, Washington, please visit marklanehart.com or internet search The Intuitive Prospector.
Sparky the Fire Dog here. Protect your family from fire. Make sure your home has smoke alarms in every bedroom, outside your sleeping areas, and on every level of your home, even your basement. For games and activities, go to sparky.org.
We want to keep you, your family, and your community safer from fire. This message brought to you by the National Fire Protection Association and your local fire department. Visit sparky.org.
Inspired Living Radio. Edgar Allan Poe once said, all that we see or seem is but a dream within a dream. And David, right before we went to break there, we were talking about ayahuasca being by far the most mind-opening connection of consciousness. I know myself that I'm personally researching ayahuasca, and I know it's gotten a lot of publicity in the last few years of people going to Peru to drink the tea. But did you want to talk about, you know, how you go about doing ayahuasca? It's not just something you get over the counter. It's not something that you just do it in the comfort of your own home. From what I've understood, it's actually something that you should study and take a week to be a part of the experience and be with somebody that's actually a professional shaman in a safe and secure environment.
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's definitely not something to be done without proper preparation. Definitely the best way to do it is to go down to Peru and to work with someone who is an experienced shaman and have them guide you through the session. It's something that takes at least several days of preparation for it. You have to be on a special diet before you do it. There's actually dangers involved if you don't stay on a special diet and if you don't get off certain medications beforehand. So you really have to be properly prepared physically, and you should really read up on it as much as you can and learn about it as much as you can and be with someone who is really, really well experienced. But if you follow all the proper precautions, it's actually quite safe. And, as long as you don't mix it with something that it shouldn't be mixed with, when people have done pure ayahuasca without any, other medication or anything, there's been almost no incidents of anyone being seriously harmed. So it's basically safe, but there have been people who have died from it when they mixed it with other medications and other things. So it really is very important that people follow all the proper precautions for it and are properly prepared when the experience arises. But it will, can truly be one of the most remarkable experiences of one's life.
And so, David, when you talk about the different ways of healing, like you said, you were able to heal some trauma from your childhood. How does one learn how to do that? Is it just through, would they need to work with someone like yourself? Or it sounds like there are some specific, skills that would be needed in order to do something that powerful.
Yeah, let me share a technique that I learned from dream expert Robert Wagner that was absolutely essential in this, healing process with my lucid dreaming. When you find yourself in a lucid dream and after you're fulfilled all your fantasies and gone through all these other different stages, you begin to learn that probably the most amazing thing of all to do in a lucid dream is to ignore the dream environment around you, to ignore the dream characters. And what you can do is simply lift your head up to the sky and talk to the dream itself. In other words, you address the dreaming mind, the unconscious part of your brain, or the conscious unconscious, however you want to phrase it. But there is some type of intelligence that is orchestrating the dream. and you can actually communicate with that intelligence. You can ask it direct questions. Show me what happened to me when I was a child. Help me to understand better. You know, things like that. And the dreaming intelligence will actually respond either in spoken words, it will talk back to you, and or it will change the dream environment in such a way as to impart messages and show you things that have happened or ways to heal. And what's most remarkable about this, you know, dreaming mind or this other intelligence that you can dialogue with during the lucid dream experience is that this intelligence seems to know us far better than we know ourselves. It has, you know, it seems to know everything about us. You can ask it really any type of question. So I found that to be the, you know, most essential and most powerful way of being able to utilize lucid dreaming for my own personal healing from, you know, from childhood PTSD. That was an absolutely essential way of doing it, and a very different way than just visualizing parts of your body healing or something like that, to actually get into a dialogue with the dream itself and to really be able to extract the wisdom of the dreaming intelligence.
With that, you know, it almost sounds like aspects of like one's higher self or what people call their higher selves. Is there a difference there, or?
I think that's you know, that's one of the terms that we use to describe what this intelligence is. Your higher self is one model. It's very, very similar, actually, to, you know, when I was just talking about ayahuasca before, and I said there's kind of a built-in shaman. There's a built-in intelligence that, you know, that dialogues with you, you can ask questions to. Very similar to lucid dreaming. There's this other intelligence, and they're very similar, you know, whether it's the spirit of the plant in the ayahuasca, whether it's, you know, whether it's a part of your own brain that's normally, you know, you're normally not aware of, your higher self on some other plane, you know, whether it's God talking to you, I don't know. But there's clearly some other mind that you're able to dialogue with that knows you better than yourself. It's a serious mystery and truly fascinating. When I first learned about this and tried this, I was just absolutely dumbfounded.
Wow, it sounds like you've had some pretty incredible experiences. So when you talk about lucid dreaming, what are some perhaps simple steps that listeners can use to start trying this for themselves?
Okay. Well, first of all, let me just say that I wouldn't be surprised if a certain number of your listening audience tonight has a lucid dream, because just simply hearing about it, learning about it, talking about it, thinking about it actually increases the frequency by which people have lucid dreams. So I'll bet a few of your listening audience will actually have lucid dreams tonight. Let me share a couple techniques that actually are helpful. One of the techniques,
I want to say really quick, David, to those listeners who do experience that tonight, please write to us and share your experience with us. We'd love to hear.
I'd be most curious as
go
well.
Go ahead.
So one of the techniques that I have found to be the most effective in increasing the frequency of my lucid dreams is to begin getting into the habit of asking myself that all-important question, am I dreaming right now? Now, you want to get into the habit of asking yourself that question like once an hour, you know, maybe set an alarm on your clock, so you really get into that habit. And when you ask the question, you have to really think about it and answer it sincerely. You can't simply say, oh, of course, I'm not dreaming. You know, because if you do that, what you're going to do is you're going to carry that habit over into the dream, and then when you're dreaming, you're going to say, am I dreaming right now? And you'll say, of course, I'm not dreaming. What you have to actually do is test your environment. There's a couple of tests you can do to determine whether or not you're dreaming. So one of the things that I found to be most helpful is to ask myself, am I dreaming right now? And then to squeeze my nostrils closed and my nose and try to breathe through them. Of course, in this waking reality, you won't be able to do it. But in a dream, you'll have no problem. There's apparently a glitch in the dream matrix that allows you to easily breathe through your nose with your nostrils pinched. Another technique is to look at something written on a piece of paper. When you look at written words on paper, memorize what they say, look away for a moment and look back. You'll find that in a lucid dream, they will almost always change to different words, whereas in this reality, they stay stubbornly consistent and don't change no matter how many times you look away. So that's one of the techniques that has worked for me many, many times. I found myself surprisingly in dreams, you know, looking at something and seeing that the words change and going, oh my God, I'm dreaming right now. So that happens to me quite frequently. Another technique that's really been effective and has been, you know, shown scientifically to actually have effect is for people to set their alarm clock to wake up around 3 hours before they normally awaken in the morning. So if you normally awaken like 8 in the morning, set your alarm clock for around 5, get up for around, I don't know, half an hour or so, walk around a little bit, you know, do a little bit of reading, go to the bathroom, get like slightly awake, and then go back to sleep. And people find that that when they wake up their brain a little bit during this period, there's about a 50% more, you know, greater chance that people will have lucid dreams. So that, you know, very significantly increases the frequency. And when you know, I discuss a number of other techniques in my book, and when you practice these different techniques together, they sort of become synergistic. So the more you think about it, the more you practice these techniques, the more they start happening and the more it starts snowballing.
And now, would this interfere, like if someone really got into experiencing lucid dreaming and they were doing this on a nightly basis or whatever, would that take away from the sleep that is needed?
No, absolutely not. They've actually done scientific studies. And first of all, it's very difficult, even the very best lucid dreamers, you know, dream only, you know, once or twice a week, really. It's very, very hard for people to do. There are rare cases, but it's very rarely that people lucid dream every night. And very rarely when people lucid dream, do they lucid dream for more than a few minutes out of, you know, their entire sleep period. And even then, it's not shown to interfere with restorative sleep in any way. In fact, sometimes see people are actually in a deeper, their bodies are actually in a deeper state of relaxation during lucid dreaming. So yeah, it's a common question, and I get that a lot. Actually, people wonder, you know, well, I really want to go to sleep, and I really want to get a nice restful sleep. I don't want to be out carrying adventures all night, you know, and then wake up tired. But people usually wake up refreshed because it's not your body that's actively involved in lucid dream. It's just your mind. Your body is getting all the rest that it needs while you're asleep.
Okay, because I just know sometimes, like when I have those dreams where I feel like I'm awake but I'm not. And sometimes I feel like I can be really tired the next day. Like, or there's some dreams where you just, the next day, really feel tired, like you're working in some way. Anyways, okay, interesting conversation. Stay with us. We'll be back in 2 minutes as we continue our topic of today, Dreaming Wide Awake, with our guest David J. Brown. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Dr. Kevin here, and I want to invite you every Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, to join me on The Dr. Kevin Show, where we have a diversity of guests who help you step outside the box, behind the curtain, and see what a load of crap is going on in the world today, so you have more information with which to make better decisions. We'll see you there. Namaste.
America's service members and veterans are strong, forged out of bravery, sacrifice, and duty. Sometimes reaching out for help can be the most challenging and worthwhile mission of all. When you recognize something isn't right, make the call to the Veterans Crisis Line or Military Crisis Line. Dial 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
And welcome back to Inspired Living Radio. Henry David Thoreau once said, our truest life is when we are in dreams awake. David, wanted to talk real quick about the potential of exploring electronic technologies that you referenced in your book. Talk about setting up a sleep environment to build your own sleep laboratory, I guess would be the proper way to say that, and also using what you refer to as sleep masks or REM dreamers.
Yes, yes, I found that very fascinating. This is something that was originally developed by Stephen LeBerc, the Stanford researcher, who really was one of the pioneers in the study of lucid dreaming. He developed something called a dream light years ago, which was very similar to the REM dreamer that that I experimented with, that I talk about in my book. Basically, the way that this particular device works is it's like a sleep mask that you wear that has built-in motion detectors, so they can detect when you're in those REM state of sleep, the rapid eye movement state of sleep, when people are most actively dreaming. So what happens when you're wearing this mask is that the once the motion detectors detect that you're in REM, what they do is they start flashing a very low level light behind your closed eyelids. And it's not a bright enough light to actually wake you up, but what happens is the flashing pulses from the light become incorporated into the dream imagery. So people will often see these as sirens or lights or flashing objects or twinkling objects in the dream or strobe lights or something. And if you are properly prepared, you then can see that as a signal that you're dreaming, and will help to inspire you to become awake. I actually found this to be quite effective, and it had a number of lucid dreams this way. But I suspect that these devices will be completely obsolete in just around a year or two. We've already developed, at the Max Planck Institute in Germany, we've already developed an ability to basically allow people to lucid dream on demand by electronically stimulating the prefrontal cortex when people are sleeping using a process called transcranial stimulation, which is just induced through the scalp of the brain, and is non-invasively allows us to stimulate areas of the brain. And they found that when they stimulated the prefrontal cortex when people were in REM sleep during this study, that around 80 or 89% of the people had lucid dreams during that time. So once this technology is miniaturized and mass-produced, and the price comes down, we'll be able to have these devices available. There's already a startup program that's trying to manufacture these devices. So the device that I tried, the REM Dreamer, which is available on Amazon and other places, is interesting and worth trying, although it is a bit cumbersome to wear and can interfere with your sleep a little bit. But like I say, these devices will be obsolete in just a few years when the transcranial stimulators come along and allow us to be able to all lucid dream on command, and won't that be wonderful?
Yeah, interesting stuff. I know when I was in England in December studying at a college over there, they were looking at mediumship as far as connecting to the spiritual world, and they were using a new technology of strobe lights, kind of the same thing without going into a deep sleep, but connecting to that consciousness through the power of lights, frequencies, and it's if you think about it, it's all very fascinating because it's all based on energy, right? It's all based on vibration, frequency, to how we're vibrating in our current either the physical world or when we go into the dreamscapes. Have you incorporated any? I know some of the technology I've been looking at is as far as floating, as far as where you go into a tank. Has there been any lucid dreaming studies where you float in water in a very like capsulating capsule where you're floating and it's like for deep meditations and dreaming? Have you looked at any of that of the studies of that?
I don't know if I have any studies that actually studied lucid dreaming in a flotation tank.
Yeah.
I think that would be absolutely fascinating to do. Personally, I worked in a flotation tank center when I was in college and spent hundreds of hours floating them. For those listeners who don't know, a flotation tank is an isolation tank, a tank that's completely soundproof and lightproof, and it has water in it that's very densely packed with Epsom salt, so you can float on the surface almost like you're floating on a cushion. And when you're in this tank for period of time without light and without sound, you go into a state of consciousness that is very much like lucid dreaming. I had, what I consider to be out of body experiences many times in my flotation tank experiences. So there's, I think, a great potential in that area for the study of these things. It seems to naturally induce them.
That almost sounds a little scary, though. A tank. I mean, I'm.
Don't be claustrophobic. You're not claustrophobic.
That's the problem. I think I would be, but I could imagine you would go into an altered state and something like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I gave orientations to hundreds of people over the years when I used to work there, including the late Carrie Fisher. And a lot of people were concerned about claustrophobia in the tank. But once you're in the tank and once you're floating, you almost feel like you have infinite space around you. There's really no sense of being enclosed in a box. Your mind is free to wander throughout the universe. So oftentimes people are actually in them.
You talked to, which I thought was very interesting, David, about shared dreams.
Ah.
So sharing lucid dreams, right?
Yes. What a fascinating subject. It's something that's been recorded, for centuries. Many, many people have been recorded dreaming. There haven't really been any scientific studies of it, but there's many anecdotes, and there's a whole book on the subject called Mutual Dreaming. I had a number of experiences in my life when I was younger. I had a shared dream with my brother when I was around 8 years old. We both dreamt that we were aboard a spaceship and that with our grandmother who had birthday cake in her hair, very sort of strange, strange specifics that really didn't seem that they were by accident, that we both dreamed the same night. So, me and my partner have had a number of shared dreams. We deliberately tried, and as we were sort of approaching the end of writing the book, after trying very, very hard to have a shared lucid dream, we did actually have what we believed to be one. What actually happened was I found myself in a lucid dream and immediately set out to find my girlfriend, and suddenly found myself in our bedroom. There she was asleep in her bed, and I went over to wake her up and shook her awake. It's like, Molly, guess what? We're having a lucid dream, right now. And she sort of groggily looks at me and says, oh, no, we're not. And I was like, no, check your nose. Try breathing through your nostrils right now and you'll see. And so sure enough, she did. And she's like, oh, my God, we're having a lucid dream right now. And we both awoke. I mean, I awoke shortly after that. And then she awoke and she reported an experience very similar. She said that she was having a lucid dream and that she suddenly had what was called a false awakening. When we think we wake up in a lucid dream, but we're actually just dreaming that we're awake. And she had this false awakening, and during it, she remembers me saying, shaking her and saying, we're having a lucid dream right now, check your nose, which she did, and realized she was also dreaming. So even though it didn't last very long, that was the most success we've ever had in being able to do this. And I think this is something that will be just absolutely fascinating to study in years to come once we can really utilize this transcranial stimulation to be able to have people lucid dream on command. Because then we can have, pairs of people lucid dreaming and being able to try to have shared dreams and then see if they can report the same types of information. So there's really great potential. It's a very exciting area, I think, for scientific discovery.
That would be amazing. So I got to flip script a little bit here, David, because I just got to know what was it like to work with the late Carrie Fisher, a.k.a. Princess Leia from Star Wars. I'm such a huge Star Wars nerd. Literally, in my studio, I have the original Star Wars posters mounted on my wall. But what was the experience like just working with her? I'm just curious.
Well, I wasn't working with her. I mean, I gave her an orientation to the isolation tank when she came in. She was one of the guests that we had. So I was the one who gave her the orientation. I didn't know who she was when I gave the orientation. And it was interesting. What happened was she went into the tank, and the person who owned the tank came over to me and said, "Do you know who that was? That was Carrie Fisher, the Princess Leia from Star Wars." And like it said, I was like, oh my God, it suddenly dawned on me because I realized, oh my God. And, you know, that was what she looked like. And when I had originally given her the orientation, I was, you know, a little bit kind of charismatic and I was very comfortable and didn't think anything of it. And what happened very weirdly was right after the owner of the place walked out of the room, Carrie Fisher walks out of the isolation tank room draped in just a towel and comes over and sits down next to me and says, I want to pay you right now for the session. And I'm like, suddenly I know who she is. So now I'm totally tongue-tied and starstruck.
She says to me,
you know, she says to me, I say, it's not necessary. You don't have to pay it right now. Just, you know, when it's over, she goes, no, I insist. I want to pay you right now. So she sits down a few inches away from me in nothing but a towel and starts writing out a check.
Oh, my goodness.
And all the charisma and everything I had previously slipped away, and I sat there and just nervously didn't say a word for the whole entire time. And I think she realized that something must have changed between the time she first saw me and the second time. But most interestingly, after she got out of the tank, we spoke for maybe around a half an hour or so, and she described her experience and talked about it. And I remember telling her that that John Lilly had taken LSD inside the isolation tanks. And she told me that she thought this was sounded extremely frightening, something that she would never want to do. But I always keep a very warm spot in my heart for the late Carrie Fisher. And, yeah, I loved her dearly in the movies, and it was wonderful to have that opportunity to spend some time with her.
Yeah, and thank you so much for sharing that memory with us. I just watched a bio on her and her mom, and just a fascinating lady, and just kind of, you know, beat to her own drum, and just was always just curious what it was like to actually meet her in person and talk her, especially if she's sitting in the towel. I may have actually climbed in the tank with her, given the fan that I am. But that, yeah, thank you so much, David, for one, sharing the memory. Thank you so much
for being
a guest again. We really appreciate it.
It's been a great pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And again, you can check his work out at mavericksofthemind.com. Next week, we're going to have our guest back, Gordon Asher Davidson, talking about the new Earth. So we'll be back here same time, same day, and we hope that you'll join us here on Inspired Living Radio. Until then, be kind, be caring, be compassionate. Namaste.